This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the Zach Gilb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. The number is always 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Give us a follow at CBS Sports Radio and also at Zach Gelb. Got some good stuff on the two televisions right in front of me. I have Temple and Wichita State slugging it out here in the second half. They're tied up at 43. And then the New York Hockey Rangers and the Montreal Canadiens, it's a 2-1 game in favor of Montreal. The Rangers were down 2-0, and they were able to get a goal in the second period, and now it's 2-1. What's frustrating, though, is I'm going to assume that the weather isn't great outside. I don't think it's raining, though, but maybe it's because of the wind. Maybe there's bad winds in the area, and we're on satellite here. These TVs keep on going out here and there. So my big fear is I'm going to miss a big basket or a big goal, and then it's just going to come back on and return to the feed as all is normal, and I'm going to just say, how the heck did that happen? So that's a little bit frustrating. Our poll question tonight, which once again you can find at Zach Gilb at CBS Sports Radio. What should the Redskins do with the second pick in the NFL draft? Here are your three choices. Draft Chase Young, draft Tua and trade Haskins, or trade the pick. The returns are right now as followed. Draft Chase Young is at 67.1%. Draft Tua and trade Haskins is at 18.3%. And trade the pick is at 14.6%. D-Ben, those three options. Draft Chase Young, draft Tua and trade Chase Young, or trade Dwayne Haskins or trade the pick. What would you do on that case?
Drafting Tua?
And then you would trade Dwayne Haskins, obviously.
And I would trade. I'm not sure what the market would be. I think it's a very similar repeat situation to Rosen, where I think it'd be tough to move him and he wouldn't get that much back. But I just think because they're starting.
Well, they got a second.
Yeah. Actually, they'd be lucky to get a second, but maybe they could get a second back. I would do that. I would draft two and take a second if I could get it. And I just think, especially because they're starting a new regime, if you think that he's better, I do. I think he's significantly better. Then, yes, yeah, start with a quarterback that's the right guy to kick off a new regime with.
Mikey B.?
If you don't think Haskins is very good and he's not your quarterback and you're just doing it to do it because you used the top pick on him, you are going to set your franchise back how many years? It's still going to be the same Washington Redskins forever. So you have the new coach. If they really think that Tua is the guy and they don't believe in Haskins, you got to make the move and just do it and bite the bullet for 1 year. Now, if they go in there and they like Haskins, there's no need to draft a quarterback. Get your Rudge Esher and move on forward. But if you don't believe in him, don't waste your time thinking maybe we can groom him, maybe we can get him better. Just go for the guy you love.
So here's what I'm going to say. Do we really know what Dwayne Haskins is? Can we make that evaluation after seven games and also with the situation that he was in last year, which was Trent Williams not playing and not a lot of weapons in D.C.? And, oh, yeah, by the way, they did move on from the coach that did draft him. Here is one thing I'll say about Dwayne Haskins, is I don't think he's getting a fair shake, but it doesn't mean that they can't pull the trigger here.
Yeah, Rosen, exact same thing.
Because Rosen didn't get a fair shake, and then you look at Rosen in Miami, I thought they should have started him from day one to see if he was worth it for the future, because they were going to be in a situation they'd be in the top 10 this year from what we thought, and they end up not being one or two, but they're still in the top 10 being at number 5. And if you don't believe Rosen's then the guy, then you move on. But we barely saw Josh Rosen on the field. So there's a lot of times where all these evaluations are so off. I'll go back to what we said earlier, though. If Tua and Haskins were in the same draft, the pick would be Tua. I really do believe, though, the Dan Snyder factor is a big one here. Because Dan Snyder's son went to school with Dwayne Haskins. And we were reading you those Warren Sharp tweets earlier from Sharp Football. Last year at the Combine, there was only one interview Dan Snyder participated in. And that was Dwayne Haskins. So could there be a potential power struggle this early in this new regime where you have Ron Rivera there, Bruce Allen is finally out, and because Bruce Allen doesn't just say, you know, because Ron Rivera may not say everything, yes, that just what Dan Snyder wants, like Bruce Allen did, does maybe Ron Rivera have some internal fighting with Dwayne, Dan Snyder to try to get them to land Tua Tagovailoa? And also, you have to think of it this way, too. Do you think the upside with Tua is great enough to pass up on what people are calling a generational talent in Chase Young? And the upside is definitely there, but I'm going to imagine, and here's my line of thinking, and I could be dead wrong on this. Wouldn't you think if Dan Snyder is that in love with Dwayne Haskins, wouldn't they, in the interview process with Ron Rivera, make sure that Ron Rivera was convinced that Dwayne Haskins is his starting quarterback for the future? So that's why my gut tells me here, even though it's fun speculation, even though that's the talk this week at the Combine, and Ben Lieber started last night, and we're hearing now every show today around the country talk about it. My gut tells me that they discussed what they were going to do in the draft, or what their plans were in the draft when they hired Ron Rivera. Can we check what was the hiring date of Ron Rivera? It was after, if memory serves me right, it was after the season. I don't think they hired him, towards the end of the regular season. It was pretty early, though.
It was New Year's Eve.
It was New Year's Eve. So that was, I think that was after the season. Yeah, it was after the season. So they hired Ron Rivera after the season. They had to discuss. We knew what the draft order was then. They had to discuss what they were going to do with that number 2 overall pick or what his preference was. You would have to think Doug Williams, Dan Snyder, and Ron Rivera had to sit there and say, what do you think we should do with the number 2 overall pick? I'm going to say they take Chase Young. That's what I think ends up happening, is that the Washington Redskins, they take Chase Young with the number 2 overall pick. And actually, that's what I think they should do. Because I operate under the belief that I would not move on from Dwayne Haskins after 1 year. Is he going to be the guy? I don't know. But I don't think we have a foundation yet, and we don't have enough yet from what we've just seen in 7 games that he started. I think some of the criticism last year was unfair, but just because it's unfair doesn't mean that you can't do it. Because it was unfair to Josh Rosen. I know we were talking about number 1 picks earlier, and we didn't mention Kyler Murray because it was 1 year. But after 1 year, and I'm not convinced, I don't know for sure if Kyler Murray's going to be a great player, but after 1 year in an organization that does not have a great team, Kyler Murray showed me a lot this year. And Josh Rosen still can't even get on the field and beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I know we all love Fitzmagic and all that, but we still haven't seen enough of Josh Rosen. And even though I like to get on Steve Keim a lot, and I think that they've swept a lot under the rug, and you know they made other people the fall guy in that organization, that's a pick that looks like it's working out. Because they had an offensive-minded coach. Remember, they bring in Cliff Kingsbury, had the connection with Kyler Murray. He even said when he was still the coach at the time at Texas Tech that if I had the number 1 overall pick, I would draft Kyler Murray. And he ends up going to a team, getting fired, then gets a job with Arizona, gets the number 1 overall pick. Oh, no, Josh is our guy. They even put it on that Twitter account, if you remember last year. Josh is our guy. And then Josh wasn't your guy. Because you drafted Kyler Murray and then you traded Josh Rosen. And it looks like that's going to work out. And it looks like they're on the right road and the right path with Kyler Murray. Now do you get the right weapons around him is the other part of that conversation. Just to illustrate a point on how good, though, people think Chase Young is going to be. Paul Alexander, the longtime offensive line coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe we'll make an effort to get him on. I remember he did an interview on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And he actually compared the player comparison for Chase Young was Lawrence Taylor. And I actually asked Chase Young about that at the Heisman this year. And Chase Young's eyes like blew up. Like he was in, not that he doesn't have belief in himself. He doesn't think he's talented. Today he said he's the best player in the draft. But to be compared to one of the all-time greats, you could tell where the appreciation was by Chase Young for what Lawrence Taylor has done in this league. So that's just a comparison. And we get comparisons wrong all the time, but that is the guy that's been in the league, has been able to identify, and his job is to teach offensive linemen how to block stud defensive players, and he compared Chase Young to Lawrence Taylor. That's some comparison. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Let me take Freddie, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina on 1610 AM. He's next up on the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Freddie, what's happening, man?
Nothing much, man. Hey, first-time caller, thanks for taking my call. I was calling in because, you know, I'm in Carolina, so I know a little bit about Ron Rivera. And the points that I would make is I definitely feel like he's going to take Chase Young because, one, his background is defense.
Great point.
And I don't think he's going to skip on that. And then, two, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he lost his job in Carolina because his quarterback couldn't stay on the field. So even if he feels some type of way about Dwayne Haskins, no matter how much he likes Tua, I don't think he would take that risk with putting himself in that position again with a quarterback who can't stay on the field.
It's two excellent points that you make, Freddie, because you look at the situation in Arizona. That was an offensive-minded coach. He got his way with the offensive player that was to be had with Kyler Murray and get rid of Josh Rosen. If you're bringing in an offensive guru, you should trust his opinion in the draft. And for Ron Rivera, he is a defensive-minded coach, as we know. And that point about Cam Newton, you're right. If Cam stays healthy over the last few years, Ron Rivera is probably still the coach of the Carolina Panthers. So does that factor into Ron Rivera's mind? I think the defensive-minded point is really what drives Chase Young there. But that point about Cam Newton, too, is a great one to be illustrated by Freddie, because that has to be in the back of his mind, too. And does Tua have tremendous upside? Of course. There are injury concerns, though. I'm not so much concerned about the ankle, but that hip dislocation is a concern. Except if you're the Redskins and you have all these incredible grades on Tua and where he was a year ago and everyone thought he would be, the general consensus was he was going to be, the census was that he's going to be the number one overall pick. If you still believe he could be that player, it's a conversation worth having. Ultimately, though, I think they'll go with Chase Young. And then Bob Ford and the Lions will be jumping up and down like fat kids in a candy store, because then they'll either take Tua, let Stafford play this year, then trade him after that, or most likely they will end up trading that pick and getting a haul back with the team trying to jump over the Miami Dolphins. It's the Zach Gilb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We have some good audio for you that you don't want to miss. A little bit about the Sixers, and one player says they're missing something. A little conversation that Ja Morant had on Russell Westbrook. And also, I'm going to try to pronounce these names. We're looking for good names to pronounce earlier with my love for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Halepuli Vati Vaitai and Tua Tungo Vailoa. So we will, coming up later on the show, in the next segment, actually, try to take these names that people are trying to get us to pronounce as they're sending them in, crazy sports names on Twitter, at Zach Gilb. 16 after the hour, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gilb Show. He's glad you're still here.
Maybe Brett Brown should bring some cupcakes into the locker room. or, you know, maybe a little Philly pretzels or some cheesesteaks. When I would have a bad day and I lived in Philadelphia, you give me a cheesesteak and I'm all good. Maybe that's what solves the issues with the Sixers. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons just need to eat more cheesesteaks.
Now back to the Zach Gilb Show.
This weekend on CBS, a back-to-back college hoops doubleheader starting on Saturday with number one Kansas at Kansas State, followed by 15th-ranked Auburn at number nine Kentucky. Then on Sunday, Big East action between Xavier and Georgetown, and one of the fiercest rivalries in college sports as Michigan visits 23rd-ranked Ohio State. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. I think the Rangers tied up the game. I'm not 100% sure. I see my Twitter timeline saying, let's go Rangers, but these TVs are going all out because of the win that's happening right now in New York City. And also, Temple's playing Wichita State right now. Wichita, the Shockers, are up by 2 points over the Temple Owls, 56-54. I may get, you know, very excited here for just a second because the TVs did come back. The Rangers are still in a commercial break. So I don't want this, you guys to ruin this for me as I'm waiting to see. They're giving the trivia question. Now the TVs are getting all fuzzy. And let's see. D-Ben, do you know the score of this game? You don't know whatsoever? I'm very curious to see what the score of this game is. And they're showing some replay right now. It's really annoying me. Can they just, you know, show the score of the game, please? I have to think about people that have direct TV right now. And, you know, their screens went out a little bit because back in... Oh-ho! I tied up. They took a lead. It's 3-2. We may need to start getting a hockey goal horn, you know, just to play sometimes. Goal. We'll start doing that. So the Rangers have a 3-2 lead now, and they're actually on the power play. So maybe it will be a power play goal, hopefully. Well, that TV was out for a while. I missed this thing getting tied up, and then I missed the go-ahead goal. We were out the television, seemed like, for about 10, 15 minutes. So my, oh my, 3-2 lead. This would be big for the Rangers. They need to go get 2 points here and close this thing out in regulation. Let me get, though, back to the Sixers, though. So the Sixers are in really ugly times right now. And I understand there's injuries with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid now, and you're just adding salt into the wound. But this team's had problems all year. And the way that this team was built, this team was not built to be a winner. I thought that was the difference between them and Milwaukee. Was Milwaukee actually has shooting. You see eight guys the other night up against the Raptors make threes. The Sixers, they just don't have the shooting. And at the deadline, they go out and they acquire two players. They think that's going to get it done. But Ben Simmons, I really do think, is holding this team back. And Embiid has to get in better shape. I think Embiid's has potential to be a great player, and I love what he's able to do. But even Jared Greenberg said earlier, he has to get in better shape. And the Rangers just scored a power play goal, 4-2. Gotta love that. Unbelievable. Wow. This is a tough, gritty team. This is a fun team. Really fun team. I'm going Sunday, so I'm pumped. But back to the Sixers. Ben Simmons, that's a problem, is he doesn't shoot. And Embiid, it seems like he's okay with being very good, borderline great. But you need to be great consistently. And up against the bad teams, he's able to be great. Up against some of the good teams, he's able to be great. When you see what he did against Milwaukee, a few nights ago on Saturday, that's not cutting it. Especially when you don't have Ben Simmons on the court. So there's all this talk about the Sixers. I don't like the way this team is constructed. Ben Simmons hasn't taken that next step. And Embiid has to get in better shape. And losing Jimmy Butler was massive. So one of the players they acquired this year was Josh Richardson. He was actually in that deal with Jimmy Butler. He knows what the problem is with the team. And this is what he said yesterday.
Biggest thing to correct before tomorrow?
Heart.
Wow. That's really something. Or it was earlier today when he said it. The biggest thing they have to correct is heart. That is a poor reflection on Brett Brown. Because when you say that, that's telling me that your coach's message is not resonating with this team. If they are tuning out the coach and guys aren't competing hard enough, that means there's a lot of problems in that organization. And they're questioning many things. And maybe it's just more than the coach. Maybe they're questioning the general manager, too, and Elton Brand. Man, that's a messy, messy situation. So, actually, that quote was yesterday because the Knicks did play the Sixers tonight. And the Sixers did get a victory, 115-106. But, once again, that's the Knicks. You're not popping champagne after beating the New York Knicks. So no Joel Embiid, they get that victory. Josh Richardson goes for 11 points, 0-4 from 3, 5-13 from the field. Tobias Harris gets 34 points as the Sixers get a victory, 115-106 as the Knicks suffer their 42nd loss on the season. And the Sixers improved to 37-23, and they're 28-2 at home. It shows you how bad things are with the Sixers. When they go on the road, they can't get the job done. And that's, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde this year. They're you look at that home record where they are, 28-2 at home. And then on the road, they are 9-21. That's mystifying. It really is. That is mystifying. 28-2 at home, 9-21 on the road. Are they partying too much? Is that something that's crazy to just throw out there? How are you that bad on the road? Maybe, on the road, they're trying to just get all those cheesesteaks, and maybe they're trying to get all those Philly pretzels like I was talking about earlier. Maybe they're testing it place to place, so there's really like no good Philly cheesesteaks outside of Philadelphia. New York makes a decent one here and there, some places. But that difference, it's mystifying. Mikey B, you watch more NBA than everybody. You are an NBA nerd. You're an NBA geek. You love the NBA. How do you explain the Sixers 28-2 at home and 9-21 on the road?
I have no idea. I mean, that one is mystifying. It doesn't really make any sense at all that you could be that good, that dominant at home, and then go on the road and be that terrible. My inkling is, okay, there's some sort of chemistry issue, but then you're that good at home, so why is the flip being switched? My only thought is energy, and I haven't seen every Sixer game to like tell you what's happening there, but for whatever reason, when they go on the road, they must not have energy and focus. Why? I don't know.
Can you imagine if that was flipped, that record, and they were 9-21 at home? Those fans, and there's accountability when you play in Philadelphia, and those fans boo when you're not playing up to the standard. If you were 9-21 at home with this team,
But 28-2 on the road.
They'd be begging to go on the road. That's why they'd be, whatever the record is, flipped around on the road. They'd be begging to go on the road. Give you a quick NBA scoreboard right now with the games in action. Portland 54, the Pacers 46. And that 8th seed in the Western Conference could be real fun. You got Portland, you got Memphis, and you also got the Pelicans. No Damian Lillard once again tonight. We knew that, though, going in. So when he will come back, it seems like they're getting closer and closer, but they keep on saying it's getting closer and closer. We haven't seen him back yet. McCollum leads the Trailblazers with 14 points, and Carmelo Anthony has 8 points as well. We mentioned the Sixers and the Knicks in that one, as it was 115-106, and the Kings are up on the Thunder, 67-52. Let me get to what Russell Westbrook, things that were said about Russell Westbrook from John Morant. I kind of like the personality of John Morant, too. First year in the league, he's not afraid to say anything. He really isn't. He's okay to give his opinion. I like that. He's a tremendous player, and he has a little personality, and he gives an opinion, too. He got into it with the whole Iguodala situation as well earlier this year. So he was talking before the game about Russell Westbrook on Wednesday, and he said, "I still feel like he's highly disrespected. This was the first time he actually played Westbrook. People take his play for granted. I mean, he averaged a triple-double for the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm pretty sure they see what he's doing this year, but it's still the same thing. I just love that he still goes out and plays and handles his business and doesn't worry about it." I'll tell you about Russell Westbrook. Now, John Morant's right. You look at the last 4 years, what we've been able to see out of Russell Westbrook, 31.6, 10.4, and 10.7. Points, assists, rebounds. Then 25.4, 10.3, 10.1. And after he averaged that triple-double a second time, people start devaluing the triple-double. It's not that big of a deal. Back-to-back years, a triple-double he averaged. Not just 2 games, 3 games, an entire season. Then 22.9, 10.7, and 11.1. I know people will try to take it away. He was just trying to do that. Look how many times he shoots the basketball. If you were one of those people, all right, that's your right, that's your agenda. But to average a triple-double 3 straight years is really something. And then this year, goes to Houston, 27.3. He averaging 7.2 assists, 7.9 rebounds. But here's the biggest jump. Field goal percentage. He's shooting the ball. It's going to be a season high. If the season wants to end today, which it doesn't. But in 48 games, he's shooting 47% from the field. Those last 3 years, 42.8, 44.9, 42.5. And his entire career, 45.4, 42.6, 43.7, 43.8, 45.7, 44.2, 41.8, and 39.8. Now, this is a heck of a year for Russell Westbrook. But I'll tell you how this works. It means absolutely nothing if that team doesn't do well in the playoffs. Because the reason why Westbrook doesn't get as much praise as some other players, because Westbrook and Harden, we put up all these stats and they go, oh yeah, it's great regular season stats. But it's fatigue because we don't see them do enough in the postseason. And to defend, you know, Russ on this one, it's not like Harden. Russ lost Kevin Durant. James Harden, him and Chris Paul, they had the Warriors on the rope. And because of the problems in the big stage for James Harden, that's why, you know, I have more of a negative tone on James Harden than I do Russell Westbrook. I do. Because those teams that Westbrook was on in OKC, towards the end, they weren't championship teams. The Rockets could have defeated the Warriors twice, and they didn't do so. How do you view Westbrook, by the way?
I think Westbrook's putting together his best season that
it's
he
amazing.
Has in the last 4 years, and it's amazing that the job D'Antoni's done pairing him off with James Harden. The Rockets are going to be the team that the Lakers and the Clippers don't want to see in the playoffs. They're going to be annoying because of their experience, because of how close they've been, and how
but
different
how does
of a
that
style.
Team,
I wouldn't want to see Houston in the playoffs.
But how do the Rockets defend LeBron and AD?
They're not. They're going to just make it a circus. They're going to go running up and down the court. They're going to make the pace out of control, and they're going to try to just turn it upside down. And it's going to be fun to see if they can do that and accomplish it against older players in LeBron in the playoffs. It's going to be fun. I don't think they'll win, but you get in that playoff spot, they're going to be a pain in the rear end.
If I'm the Lakers, I'm not shaking in my boots about the Rockets. At best, I think the Rockets win two games in that series. So if it gets to six, is that really going to derail your playoff hopes? No. Because when push comes to shove, James Harden, he's not showing up in the big spot. Until he does it, I have zero reason to believe that he's going to do so. So some of these 40 times are being run right now for the wide receivers. Henry Ruggs, 4.28. Wow. And this is the strength of the draft is the wide receiver position. Jerry Jeudy, 4.46. CeeDee Lamb, 4.51. And Denzel Mims from Baylor, 4.40. Denzel Mims is about 6'3 and about 215, 220. The wide receiver from Baylor, we actually asked head football coach of the Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, about this when he joined us earlier in the week. Let's hear what Matt Rhule had to say about his former player at Baylor and Denzel Mims.
Denzel's just a wonderful, wonderful young man. A guy who decided to come back for his senior year, had a great senior year. I don't know if there's a guy in college football that's had more game-winning catches. You know, we weren't a dominant team that was blowing people out. He's not just some stats guy. This is a guy that had to make key plays down the stretch to win games, and he's done it time and time again. A tough, physical, great human being. And
so there you go. That's Matt Rhule, who joined us earlier in the week to talk about Cam Newton and his rise from Temple to Baylor, and now, of course, the Carolina Panthers. If you want to hear that entire conversation, you go to my Twitter, at Zach Gelb, right in the link. Right in my bio, you can find the link, and you can find all of our segments, interviews, and every segment that we do if you miss any of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The receivers in this draft are really something. There's going to be a record number of receivers taken from everything you read in the top three, four rounds. And to see how these guys are going to pan out is going to be very compelling to see how they pan out, because there's so much controversy when you talk about these receivers. Like when we had Charles Davis on the other day, you know, he didn't even talk about Ruggs and Lamb and Jeudy first. The first player he mentioned was Laviska Shenault Jr. from Colorado. And then he mentioned the Penn State wide receiver as well, Hamler. This is really going to be something, this draft. And a lot of people like the Arizona State wide receiver, too. Now, Keil Harry went first round last year to the Pats. A lot of people believe that this wide receiver from Arizona State, Sun Devils, could get, in the first round, too. So, 4.28 for Ruggs, 4.46 for Jeudy, Lamb, 4.51, and Denzel Mims, 4.40. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up at the closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God. We're back again.
So the three names I love the most in sports, Halapuli Vaati Vaitai, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and who's the third one that I love the most? Giannis Antetokounmpo. Oh, and Tua Tagovailoa. So that was the conversation we were having earlier. And I love saying all three of those names. And we asked some listeners if they wanted to tweet in so they could try to get me to pronounce some of these rather difficult names. Jay Woody on Twitter wants me to say this former name of a former Pittsburgh Steelers fullback. I'll try it right now. Chris Fuamatu Ma'afala? Let me hear how it's actually pronounced.
Steelers down by five. They go with a draw handoff. And Foose into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. Chris Fuamatu Ma'afala gets the go-ahead touchdown for the Pittsburgh Steelers. How about them apples?
It sounds like I was pretty decent. Chris Fuamatu Ma'afala?
I think you got it.
You got it the second time, yeah.
Yeah? Was I decently close the first time?
Yeah, I'd say decently close.
Okay.
B plus.
Now, Rob P on Twitter, I don't even know how to say his name, but he wants me to pronounce the name of this Seton Hall player. Sandro Mamukelashvili? Let me hear it.
Did that turn down the pass, but Nelson scores. There's a block. No foul. Mamukelashvili turning away all the Joby.
Not terrible.
Yeah, that one was like an A-minus for me. You almost totally nailed it.
Now, Mikey B, how would you say that last name?
Mamukelashvili.
Mamukelashvili.
Now, his nickname is Mamu. That's what a lot of the guys were calling him, so it was harder to find the full name.
I could see why.
Had Mamu.
Yeah, I could see why Eagles players just call Halapuli Vaati Vaitai Big V. Or why the insiders on Tua Tagovailoa just call him Tua T. When we get to the poll question today at Zach Gelb, what should the Redskins do with the second pick in the NFL draft? We did have Ron Rivera, their new head football coach, on at Radio Row. I asked him about Dwayne Haskins. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I believe he can be. I'm not anointing anybody. On our football team, everybody's going to work for what they get. We've got to come out. We've got to compete. We've got to go out and do our jobs. And I believe Dwayne has the skill set. Now it's up to him. Now he's got to go out and he's got to make a commitment. He's got to be the. He's got to learn and develop to become the leader. We have a guy in Alex Smith who's working on coming back. He's going to create some competition, and we're going to play the best guy. And I'm going to stick true to that. I said the same thing when I got to Carolina. I was going to play the best guy, and that was Cam. And as I go forward, I look at a young man like Dwayne who's got a tremendous skill set. I look at a guy like Al Smith, and hopefully he comes back who's had a lot of success, and we'll see what happens.
Keep on saying Smith there is interesting. I don't think Smith's going to play again. But he gave praise to Dwayne Haskins, but like most coaches, not willing to say that he's going to be the starting quarterback when you take over a program. Interesting. You can read into that answer, though. What should the Redskins do with the second pick in the NFL draft? 66% say draft Chase Young. 21.6% say draft Tua Tagovailoa and trade Haskins. And 12.4% say trade the pick. Let's ring the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
A stock up to Bruce Arians for his honesty. We played you the answer the other day, how they like Jameis Winston, but they also want to see what's behind door number two, and they don't know what's behind door number two. He was on via JoeBucksFan.com, also via Pro Football Talk, and this is what BA had to say. I think they're about 10 interceptions that weren't his fault out of the 30, but I would like to have seen a better December. You know, that's usually that end of November and December, it starts clicking for us. It did for Carson in Arizona. It did for Ben in Pittsburgh. It did for everybody but Jameis. But Jameis made some mistakes in December that I didn't like. I like that honesty. I really do. I loved him and I hated him, Arian said. More love, I mean. You throw for 30-something touchdowns and 5,100 yards. There's a lot to love. The mistake sometimes, you scratch your head. He's one of those guys that wants to go out and win the game by himself. Sometimes let the other guys help you. I still believe Jameis is coming back, but clearly BA is sending the message that we told you, you got to make better decisions. You didn't, so now you're going to have to take the beating nationally. A stock up to BA because I kind of like the approach. A stock up to the Chiefs. I know Chris Jones may not like it, but they did franchise tag him, and they will franchise tag him. You had to bring back Chris Jones. Made one of the biggest plays of the Super Bowl, that 2nd-and-5 play where the 49ers elected to throw the football, and he knocked it down at the line of scrimmage. A big plus for Steve Spagnuolo and also Andy Reid bringing back Chris Jones, and now it's probably a good idea to sign him to a long-term extension, but a good start. So stock up to the Super Bowl chance.
Stock up to Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. He has been on fire. He's the first player since Shaquille O'Neal back in 1994 to score at least 30 points on 60% shooting in 3 straight games. He's been phenomenal. Stock up to Jason Tatum. And then stock up to Giselle, who on Instagram was asked, where is your husband going to be playing next year? She answered the question by saying, wherever he's happy. So stock up to Giselle supporting her husband.
Okay, stock up to the Combine in primetime. I really like this idea to begin with. I really haven't been able to lock onto it during the show, but it looks pretty good to me. I hope a lot of people are enjoying it. It gets a decent number. It's nice to see this in a more approachable time slot. And stock up to Andy Dalton, who's all of a sudden the darling of trade talks at the Combine. Multiple teams
Pats,
now,
baby.
Including maybe even the Patriots, might be interested in Andy Dalton. Who thought he would have been a major commodity this offseason, but that's where we're at.
To the negative, Deontay Wilder used that excuse about the 45-pound costume that he used into the ring that maybe made his legs go in that fight. Here is Deontay Wilder about a year ago on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Think fast. We want to activate the fast twitch muscles. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We do everything with rapid speed. Right. If I'm doing anything, it consists of me moving my feet, is sprinting. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And I wear a 45-pound vest on me as well, too, in all my exercise and everything that I do to have that extra weight on me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The audio speaks for itself. Stock down, Deontay, the dog ate my homework, Wilder. Also a stock down to this thought that Tom Brady's going to the Colts or the Giants. He's not going to the Giants. They just drafted Daniel Jones, and the Giants beat him twice in the Super Bowl. And he's not going to Indianapolis, where they made such a big stink about the Deflategate. Stop with the Colts and the Giants for Tom Brady.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
Stock down to the Utah Jazz. They said that Joe Inglis would be in their starting lineup and Mike Connolly would come off the bench. Hours later, Mike Connolly signed a big contract, a lot of money, big name free agent. All of a sudden, not so fast. Mike Connolly, you're now in the starting lineup, even though that's not working for Utah. So stock down to the Jazz. And stock down to Mitchell Wilcox, USF tight end, who was in the combine today, wasn't quite looking. A ball came flying, didn't use his hands, knocked him right in the face. Not a good look for Mr. Wilcox. Stock down.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
Stock down to the idea of load management. The NBA finally used their rules against it to fine the Timberwolves $25,000 for resting a healthy Russell. So I don't know. Maybe the future of load management is a little bit in jeopardy. And stock down to the actual stock market, which had its largest single day fall in history today.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
A bonus stock up, by the way. ASU punter Michael Turk, he did 25 reps on the bench press. A big fat stock up to Michael Turk of Arizona State. How about that for the Sun Devils? McAfee's going to be going nuts about this tomorrow. I can't wait to listen to Pat McAfee. 10 a.m. to noon Eastern right here on CBS Sports Radio across many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206 and the radio.com application. Wow. A punter? 25 reps on the bench press? I want to see how many offensive linemen he outbenched. I really want to see that. But it's a great day for punters when you do 25 reps on the bench press. Fun show today. I'd like to thank Mikey B. I'd like to thank D-Ben. Also like to thank each and every one of you for your participation, whether it's listening, calling, or tweeting. Big thanks to Jared Greenberg for joining us and Kurt Warner as well. We'll be back tomorrow with a huge, and I mean huge, Friday show. You don't want to miss it. It's a Zach Gelb show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Have a great Thursday night, everybody. We'll talk to you manana. I'm out. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.